Here we are with part three of our workshop, training my stem cells, which is training my
training
cells. Wonderful. Okay. Now, before we pause, we turned off our cell phones so we wouldn't be disturbed by them. And, well, I have a situation at campus for myself. I talk to many people on the phone, as you all do, because you talk to more people than I talk to. And as I talk to people on the phone, they have another telephone that rings. They say, oh, just a minute, I have to answer this other phone. And I hang up. And you hang up? Yeah. Because I bought your time, your attention. Now, the least you could do is say goodbye. Yeah, I'm going to answer the other phone. Goodbye. This other phone is more important to me. That's the unknown, you know, because I want to know who it is. It might be bringing a space stick. And I say, well, okay, that's all right. I know what I'm with, and so you go right ahead. But don't bother calling me about any of your circumstances anymore, because if I don't deserve your full attention, I don't deserve your full attention, you know, and forget it. So they don't do that very often. When they do it, then I'm gone again. But I'm consistent. Anybody call me up and say, just a minute, I got to get the other line, and they don't say goodbye, I hang up. So I do say goodbye to the phone, though. Goodbye. No. And why do I do this? Can anyone tell me who I am? What? I'm number one. I'm number one. Now, are they answering the phone with anybody else? No. And so, if they're done with me, then at least they could have done is say goodbye, you know. But maybe the house fell down or something, you know. And maybe the house got fire and had to run out of the house. They're terrible things to think about them, you know. I don't think that. I just think, hey, conversation's over. Have you ever talked to someone who got so emotional and they couldn't talk? No. Well, goodbye. Get yourself together, when you got yourself back together again, then give me a call. But you should be understanding. You should be understanding with me, you know. I say, no way. My genie cells have too much to do to be understanding of anything. Now, we're just playing a reiteration here a little bit. What does a genie cell do? It acts in whatever it is we want it to act. Do you want a genie cell to feel sorry for you? I wouldn't. Because of what reason? Louder, please.
I'm already perfect.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you're already perfect. But what does a genie cell do that is sorry for you? It thinks that you're not perfect. It thinks that you need some help. It thinks that you need somebody to love you because you have got nobody to love you, you know. That's what it thinks, you know. And it's going to give you a lot more of nobody to love. Because that's what you're creating it doing. You have to be so careful what you are creating your genie cells doing. That's an interesting term of putting on that, but it's true. What are your stem cells? They are undifferentiated anything. Undifferentiated idea, undifferentiated matter, unformed. They have not been placed into motion for a particular goal. So, we want to be in the business of placing things into motion for our goal, for our choice. We want to be in the business of placing things into motion for our choice. Now, what is your choice? All of you came today, all of you are staying as long as you're staying, all of you are getting as much as you're getting, but just remember this, you don't need this, you don't need me, you don't need anything that I share with you. All you do need is to know that you're number one and you only think good thoughts about yourself. And your world. And good thoughts are thoughts that you want. Thoughts that you want to, beneficial thoughts. Now, we talked about how we can do this in a very positive, definite way to bring about results in our life. How can you do this in a definite way to bring about results in your life? Alright? First, you have to decide what are the positive thoughts you want to think. No, that's not true. Now, what are you doing? When I was telling you something that's not doing, you don't have to think thoughts about things that are positive in your life, that you want positive in your life. Do you think you have enough intelligence to cover the ballpark, to cover the gambit, the whole field of possibilities of things that you would like done nice in your life? Can you say, I have spoken my word for my good and it is done? No. And did you remember to say the nice thoughts about your mother and father? Did you remember to say that you recreated your past so you only remember your parents as being beautiful, uplifting, supportive people? And did you remember to create your brothers and sisters as angels? Not a bunch of little monkeys, you know? And you say, well, monkeys is all right, but that isn't. My brother and sister are fantastic. My brother and sister are God. They're the greatest in the world. My brother and sisters are super beings, you know what I mean? Never let yourself think any even teensy-weensy little negative thought, because you come out of that same germ bank, remember? So you better keep your mind clean. You better keep your thoughts clean, yeah? You know? It's just not easy because you look at appearances, you know? And these appearances, you think, oh my gosh, you know? I got brothers and sisters too, right? They're a challenge. But I love them. So, now, what about you? Do you remember every single thing you ever said? And the statement is no. So, if I say to the genie cells in me, the 10,000 that are burned continuously through my day, if I say to them, I am perfect. And the genie cell says, so be it. You are perfect. You have to say, I have perfect body, perfect mind, perfect spirit, perfect this. If it helps you, okay, but the thing is, it's just limiting yourself. You haven't the capacity to know what perfection means. Nobody does. We don't have the capacity to know what perfection means. All we know is that perfection is the ultimate. It is the ultimate good. And so when we say, I am perfect, I am the ultimate good, I am the original purity and integrity that I am. Now, we don't have to say, in my body, in my spirit, in my mind, because if we do that, then we're separating ourselves, you see? We're causing ourselves to think on several different levels of consciousness, and we don't want to think on several levels of consciousness. What does a genie do? What is your wish? What is your command? What is your request? What wouldst thou of me? Oh, who said that? Some other good teacher. What wouldst thou of me? What is your command? What is your request? Okay. Richard, and don't do this, please. Okay? Richard, cut me a piece of chocolate cake. So Richard says, Herb loves chocolate cake. Herb loves chocolate cake, and he thinks chocolate cake is just the end of this world. And he's not eating much of it right now, but he loves chocolate cake. And so I am going to cut Herb a piece of chocolate cake to end all pieces of chocolate cake. And in that big hole that's in the middle, I'm going to do what I would like to do for myself. Fill it with ice cream, with chocolate ice cream. And then I'm going to put cream on top of that. And I'm going to sell it to everyone and say, Herb, this is what I think of you. This is what I think of your abundance consciousness. This is what I think of your appreciation of chocolate cake, right? Something like that. But you see, this is what the genie says to you. He says, you like chocolate cake? Have it. Yeah? You like chocolate ice cream? Have it. All the ice cream you want, you know? Whatever is your choice. Just have it and enjoy. You like money? Well, pour it on you. And then I say to people, wouldn't you love to be King Midas? You know? Everything he touched turned to gold, and he just had no gold, and he knew what to do. Wouldn't you just love that? And see, right away, you and your stupidity think of King Midas and the negative part of that. Now, all King Midas would have had to have said was, whatever I mentally touch turns to gold as to things that I want in gold. And then he wouldn't say, no human being would turn into gold, or no food would turn into gold, because I couldn't eat, you know, and I couldn't help my daughter, and I couldn't do these things. But you see, the story writer wanted to make you think the love of money is what? The source of all evil is the love of money. Okay, now, but that's not true. You see, the love of money is not evil at all. And it's not what you want to do with it. But the only thing, well, there's nothing evil. But if you're going to spend all your time being a Warren Buffett, making billions and billions and billions of dollars, and then going to the thrift store because you can't afford to get a nice fur coat for your wife, you've got to buy somebody else to use a fur coat. Yeah? Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But that's very true. I try to get the carrots out of my teeth before I talk.
Did you say he had a poverty consciousness in a way, even though he's a billionaire?
Excuse me?
In a way, he has a poverty consciousness.
Oh, sure.
Himself?
Oh, yes. He has a poverty consciousness. Now, it sounds terrible. But anybody who's got billions of dollars in it, but that's his joy. Mm-hmm. Now, look, beautiful but dumb. This is what they say, blondes are beautiful but dumb, you know. They say about movie actresses, you know, that they're beautiful but dumb. They're not dumb. That's the role they play on the screen, perhaps. I like Marilyn Monroe. Is she stupid? She was one of the most brilliant businesswomen you could ever want to meet. She had an emotional problem, which messed her up, but she was brilliant, and she's a good actress, and she also, she didn't fool around. She played as though she did, but she didn't. But she put on the show. Did everyone who saw a Marilyn Monroe movie love her? Did everyone who saw a Shirley Temple movie before her teenage years, did they love her? Did they think, oh, this little angel, this little paradise, this little... And what was it they loved? And did that kid make money? Not as much as she could have. I mean, was she a star, a real star? You bet. Was Marilyn Monroe a real star? Could she have had anybody she wanted? Now, you can think of yourself, too, as a star. And you're performing for yourself. Do you think that Shirley Temple performed for the audience? She didn't even know who the audience was. She performed for the mom. The mom says, okay, Twinkle Toes, go out there and sparkle, you know. And she did. But she loved it. She loved it. Bill Gates made a lot of money off of his software because he loved it. And he wanted to make better and better software for the world, and he demanded the best out of his people. And he said he used to shout and swear at them. No, he didn't say swear, but shout. He used to shout at them and, you know, get angry at them and stuff. Because he wanted them to come up with new ideas, new ideas, new ideas. He loved new ideas. He's a gadget boy, yeah. He just loved new ideas. And his new ideas are remarkable things that have come out. But he loved what he was doing, that's why he made the money. Now Warren Buffett, he loved making money and he made the money. But he didn't love money to be enjoyed. He probably grew up in the, well, he did, he grew up in the depression cycle. And he probably had a mother and father like Jack Canfield had, who thought that money doesn't grow on trees. Does money grow on trees?
Oh, heck yes.
Oh, heck yes. Ask the farmers in the Imperial Valley. Money grows on trees for sure. So, what are you going to do now? Are you going to have a laundry list of possibilities of how wonderful you are and I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body and all that good stuff? Or are you going to say, I am perfect? You see, this is a little strange, but I want to get you away from your human self. And yet, I want you to be right in the midst of your human self. I want you to get away from the old ideas that you have about being human to the new idea of these genes that are every day born into our brain waiting to work for us. Now we could say that's God working through us. We could say that's the divine working through us. We could say Jesus said, ask your Father and that sort of stuff. We could say all sorts of stuff like that. If you read anything of Carl Jung, the great psychoanalyst, or Freud, or any of the great philosophers, they all tell you the same thing. I told you about Hippocrates. But they all tell you the same thing, whether it was Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, you know. It doesn't matter. They all say, within us, within every human being, and I hate to use the word human, but within every divine being, human being, there is a power. Now, religious science used to teach there is a power in this universe greater than you are, and you can use it. Well, on the secret show, they said, no, there is a power in you that's greater than you have ever used and greater than the universe has ever seen, and you can use it. And you can use it. It's in you, and you can use it. Now, it's not a matter that you take the ingredients of a cake and put them together in a certain way and bake it in a certain way that you get a cake. Can anyone tell me what I'm thinking right now? What's that?
The complete cake's done already, though.
Yeah, you're saying the idea that the cake is done as a cake.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly right. The cake is a concept already done. You are the one who breaks it down into ingredients and all those other sort of stuff. Now, do you want a chocolate cake? Hmm? You all buy me chocolate cakes the other day. No, thank you.
I have a chocolate cheesecake for tomorrow for you.
But now, hey, she said what? Come on.
What?
What cheesecake?
Oh, there's a cheesecake for tomorrow for you.
Yeah. There is a cheesecake tomorrow for you. There is a cheesecake tomorrow for you. She didn't say that she's going to bake a cheesecake. Shush. You're messing up my story here. She didn't say she's going to bake a cheesecake or buy a cheesecake, and she's going to go to this bakery, and this bakery is going to put cheese in this cake, and along with whatever stuff goes into a cheesecake, you know, and chocolate too. But then there'll be this cheesecake. But no, she says, cheesecake. What? Your mind says, here is a cake. It is a cheesecake. And it is done. And it's either on a plate or in a box or in my tummy. All three are fine. But it's them, you see, and this is what we want to start seeing our dreams as done. It is not a matter that we have to go through the machinations of it. We don't have to go through it. Bill Gates said to himself and his wife, Melinda, he said, "Sweetheart, we're having so much fun giving away money. I think I'm going to join you, and I'm going to retire from my work at the Microsoft Corporation." And she said, "Sweetheart, I'd love to have you." So together they're out spending money like the girls on trees, you know. And they're going into hospitals, in Nigeria, for instance. They went into the hospital, and they were working with these little children, and children are always a good tool to get you to give. And as they work with these little children, there's a picture in Business Week magazine. There she is, loving the child, and Bill is standing behind her, with a big, you know, parent smile on his face. and then... they needed to have a hospital ring at the office. We bought it. They need this. We bought it. They went around doing different things, and they needed things. We bought it. Never a question how much or where or how it is done. We bought it. And can't get a doctor? We hired them. Well, give them a year's salary to be down there and working that time, you know, by the month. Because you can have the right to quit if you want, you know. And if you got a year's salary, you got to give it back. But so he paid him by the month, and on and on. Now, you want to create of yourself, create yourself as a symbol maker, an icon maker, as we do in our software on our computers. Our computer comes up with a bunch of simple little icons that all look alike. And it says if you want to change them, go to properties. And you press properties, and then it says go to the additional third section of properties. And then you press that, and then down below it says, do you want to change your icon? And you say yes. And so then it parades a whole bunch of icons in front of you that you can choose from. Or it says browse. And you can browse and select a different set of icons, and you can take your own face. Or if there's a project that you're working on, and the project is called Father, you put a picture of your daddy on there, you know. And whatever you want to do, but just make it an icon. And every time you look at the picture of your daddy's face on the icon, you say, that's a good project. It is done. And what happens to your daddy while you're doing all this? He's getting the outflow of your love, of your good feelings for him as heading your project. He doesn't even know it. But here he is. And put your mama on another project, you know, if you like. Or put your brothers and sisters. Or people, don't take someone you hate. Because if you take someone you hate and you put them on a project, that project is going to go wow like that. But it's going to be a little tainted. Because hate is a powerful emotion that does some pretty strange things. It doesn't always go straight to its direction. It messes things up along the way, according to what you think your goal is. Now, I can't stop hating him. He's so terrible. He's done such terrible things. I can't stop hating him. I just don't know how to stop hating him. And your own tummy gets rattled up, and your headache, and your eyes go, and your ears go, and pretty soon you go, you know. And it's a shame. I can't stop it. Why can't you stop? He's not worth hating. He's killing you. That hate is killing you. Don't do that. Love him. Love him to pieces. Kill him with love. And that's what happens. See, when we turn love on anybody that we disagree with or don't understand, beautiful things happen. Now, who's doing all this? The genie. The genie's in our brain, the genie's in our being, the genies that are saying, yes, I will do it. Now just visualize with me. We have the genie who is from the secret. And those of you who haven't seen it, of course, then. But if you've ever seen Aladdin as a magic lamp, Aladdin is a little Arab boy there, and he finds this lantern. And he rubs the dust off it, and poof, up comes a genie. And he is just scared beside himself. And he says, what? And the genie says, hey, I'm your friend. I'm here to do anything you want done. Well, he had fun. He had fun. What did he do? Did he make a magic carpet? Huh? Did he make a magic lamp? Did he save his princess? Did he do all the things he wanted to do? Did he hurt anybody? No. Did he just love? Yeah. Okay now. You have these genies inside of you wanting to play with you, wanting to do your bidding of whatever it is you wish. Now, you have a unhappy relationship with your spouse, and so you just say, okay, genie, my husband and I, shush. I only know what you want. I don't want to know what you don't want. I only know what you want. Don't tell me what you don't want, because then I'll have to work on what you don't want and make it worse for you, and worse and worse and worse. You know? Oh, my goodness. Thanks. Don't tell me what you don't want. I'll have to make it worse. I was ready to throw a pickle at Patricia Pamela here. Patricia died, by the way. I have to throw a pickle at Patricia here, because Patricia once said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I'm perfect. Damn it! What else would the doctor ever say about you? What do you want us in our consciousness to ever think about you?
I'm perfect.
Well, right, but then don't pretend that the doctor said that, because that tells us that you were worried about it, that you doubted it, that you doubted yourself, and you are so perfect. Can you imagine a woman like this doubting herself? Doubting herself? Never! She was doubtless.
I think it's quite against flight for him to just...
Does Richard wear all that? Okay. But here's the thing. We have to be so careful of our words. So careful of our words. I just came from the doctor. Well, you go to the doctor. Well, is there something wrong? Is there something... Are we going to have a baby? Are you like, what's the problem? Is there something wrong? Doctor and wrong just seem to always go together, unfortunately. You say, I just went to the doctor. Well, what were you at the doctor for? Well, he was having some difficulties, and he needed some advice on how to put his house in order, and I worked with him. Whoa! Oh, Pamela, you are the greatest thing since Carrie had told, I tell you. It's wonderful. That's an old one, yeah. And so, this is what we do. This is what we do. The moment we start reminiscing about any negativity, we re-empower that negativity to continue in our life. The moment we start reminiscing about any negativity in our life, we re-empower it to continue. The moment we reminisce, the moment we think back about, the moment we remember the back, we remember the depression, we remember all those things, we re-empower that to be a present force in our nowness of life, because there's only the now and the here. And are you so idiotic, so stupid, to re-empower something you really don't want, at least you say you don't want? Or did you feel good when you were going through those tough times? Well, oftentimes we were feeling pretty good going through it. The only time you get anybody to come visit you when you go to the hospital, you know. You're home in bed, nobody comes visit you, they don't want to disturb you. Well, don't go to bed. Sit in the living room on the couch, you know. You don't have to, as you feel, and then let your friends come over and say, oh dear, you look so sweet, you look so lovely, you're 20 years younger, what have you been taking, you know? And I've just been taking love pills, unconditional love pills, and I'm giving them out to everybody. Would you like some? Here's a box of them. Oh, thank you, I'll take a handful. I'll take a fistful. And our kids, I'll fill up for tomorrow. But this is great. Now, when you Set your total. And you say, I'm home first, I'm home first, I'm home first. That's better than kicking the head. But when you set your total and you say, ah, I am a divine being, I like me. I am a divine being, I like me. I am a divine being, I like me. No reference to the total. No reference to the hurt. No reference to anything. I'm a divine being, I like me. 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 And what will happen to you? Your attention is on your being a divine being, not on your toe, not on being whole and perfect, which all are very good. But your attention is on, I like me, I'm a divine being. And I've had a number of people that I've worked with this particular statement. They've experienced every type of disease you can imagine and every type of unhappiness. And we don't need to mention them. Unless you want me to give you the laundry list of all the rock up that was going on. I mean, it's really an exciting story, you know. Another time, okay. All right, now, so I said to him, you say this, I like me, I am divine order, I am peace. I like me, I'm divine order, I am peace. I like me, that's the perfect idea. I like me, 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 I like me. I'm divine order. Of course, I'm divine order. I'm divine order. My life is divine order. Everything is divine order. What's your name? Genie? My genie works on, I like me. My genie works on, I am divine order. How cool, huh? I am divine order. And, what's the last one? Huh? Say that loud. I am peace. I am not at peace, but I am peace. I am the essence, the allness, the totality of peace. I'm not standing at the doorway of peace. In German, they have words like Sitzen Sie auf dem Stuhl, you know. So, sometimes it can be understood as sit at the table, or sit on the table, or sit near the table. But we want to be the table. We want to be the chair. We want to be peace. Chair, table. Have you ever been standing on your feet a long time and you were very tired and you just wished you had a cane you could flip open and make a little stool out of it and sit on it? That's stupid. That's stupid. That's putting the wrong thought in mind. What is the right thought? You're standing there and you're tired, you wish you could sit down?
God, I feel good.
Now what'd she say? She wants God to feel good.
I am God.
Well, let's keep it in simple terms. I feel.
I feel good.
That's what I'm supposed to do. I feel good. Now, I feel good. I feel good. Hey, let me tell you this. Did you hear about this here? Hey, did you know about all this stuff? Hey, I'm the clerk. I'm standing behind the counter. I've been there for 8 hours, and my feet should be killing me. And I say, I don't want to do this. I am going to end up this day with more sales than I ever made before. And so you say, ladies and gentlemen, look over here at this view. Hey, you're not allowed to be a hawker in the store. Not a hooker, but a hawker. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about these shoes that we have here. They are special from the market. We only have 10 pair left, and the first 10 people who get here are going to get a shoehorn along with their shoes. And these shoes are so comfortable, when you put them on your feet, you'll forget about it, and you'll even go to bed with them on, and you'll think that you don't have them on. They'll be so comfortable, you get up in the morning and you walk around, you even go in the shower with them and forget to take them off. They're so wonderful. They're the kind of shoes that everybody would love to have a pair. But there's only 10 left, so the first 10 people, now don't rush, and then you establish the rest. Don't say don't rush. But you establish the rest. Now people come up, come up, come up, come up, and then there's 10 is done. And then the other people say, I want a pair too. Okay, sign your order form here and write me a check and we will give you a call as soon as the next load comes in. Yeah. And we'll order them special just for you. Oh, but I gotta wait. That's worth waiting for. You're a fantastic person, and when you get these shoes on your feet, you'll never want to take them off. You'll be so happy with them. You don't say never want to take them. You'll wear them all the time because you got to keep your positive, positive, positive. Now, do you think that you're tired? Are you going to want to sit down? You're standing up there, and you're writing down on the sheet here, on the counter, and your sheet here, bring me some more sheets here, and you write down, bring me some more order blanks here, and write it, and bring me your last five pair of shoes here, and, but they're the wrong size. That's okay, buy them, and give them to someone who will get fit. Well, and then we'll order another pair for you. You have about two pairs, a four pair? How many do you have in your family? You have your dad, your mother, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncles, and cousins, and then you have your husband and your wife, and my goodness. Hey, that's a cool idea. That's an icon. Well, I hadn't thought of that. Shoes for your dog in the wintertime. Wow! That's great. Yes, we just happen to have them available. Now, what size foot has your dog got? We have them so they vary a little bit with the feet. And all that is great. You are the most loving dog owner, pet owner that I've ever heard. I'm so proud of you. Do you think you'd be tired? Do you think you'd think, I wish I could sit down? You wish the day would go on long? Should I take a night shift too? Can I go on the second shift and follow through here? You see, enthuse yourself about life. Enthuse yourself about yourself. Be excited about your own magic, your own majesty, your own inner wisdom that wants to do things. But this is who you are. Now, this is why I say create your own icon. Create your own icon. Because if you have somebody else's logo or icon or somebody else's image that they're going to use, it represents something else. Now, Pam is correct. Reverend Pamela Wengler. She is correct when she says, I, God, or God loves you, or I love myself, I love God, I am God. She's correct. But you know and I know that people think that God is outside. People think that God is outside. No matter what we say, people think that God is outside. And you do too. You do too, because you say, oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, jerk in the sky. You know, whatever you say. But that's what you do. Yeah, I conned you again, you know. And that's what you say. And really, I'm not trying to be as silly as I sound. It is what we do. It is what we do. When you can say, you are the creator of your will, I like me. I am God. I like me. I am the all. I am the is. Now, go ahead. Tell me that by saying, I am the is, you understand what it means. What does the is mean? What does the is mean? What does the is mean? What does it point to? Does it point to the Hebraic God of the Old Testament? Does it point to the gods that were in, of every land? Yes.
It points to the oneness.
What?
We say all,
oh,
a bunch of things, and we say
all. Cool. Point to the one. Mm-hmm. And is there only one?
Yes.
Right. Now, how do you know that there's only one?
I
know. And, you know, hey, I know is enough for you to know. I know that you know that you know is enough for me to know that you know. Yeah. But you see, never defend yourself by that subtle pause that says, I know, why can I say I know? Because I know. Right, that's exactly it. You know. Believe in yourself. Believe in the divine within you. I want you to look in the mirror I hate to give orders, but look in the mirror, and follow that circle of light around you. Follow that globe of light around you. Follow that energy flooding through your system. And know that you are good and very good. Know that you are fantastic. Know that you're glorious. The things, you know, we look at spiritualism and we say, what a big joke spiritualism is. We look at Christianity and we say, what a big joke Christianity is. We look at the scientists and we say, what a big joke the scientists are. What a big joke they are. We look at all sorts of people and we say, what a joke. Now, we may not outwardly say that because that's not nice. But inwardly, we say that. You know, did I tell you the story of how the Big Bang Theory came about? Well, Papa Scientist went at home with his kids. And his kid says, Daddy, how did the Earth start? Where did the Earth come from? And Daddy said, well, kids, I've been thinking about that recently. And sit down. Get yourself a cup of hot chocolate now and some cookies. And you better make some popcorn. And I'll tell you the story of how the Earth began. And so Papa sits down with his kids, and just then the neighbor kids come in. He says, sure, friend, sit down and join us. So the neighbor kids come in, sit down and join them, too, you know. The room is full, 8 or 10, 15 kids. And they're eating all this popcorn, this hot chocolate, and this ice cream, and things like that, you know, chocolate chip cookies and stuff. And they're just having a great old time. And so he says, this is how it all started. There was one little Adam. One lonely little Adam in the petunia patch. he didn't even have the petunia patch. He was just all by himself, the only existing thing in the universe, a little Adam. And this little Adam was so lonely, he didn't know why he was lonely, because he never had anything not to be lonely with. But there was some longing inside of him that said, hey, there's something more. And so he says, well, if nobody's going to do it for me, I'll do it for myself. And so he breathed deep and he held his breath. This is a new additional part. He breathed deep and he held his breath and he held his breath and he held his breath until he blew up into a zillion jillion atoms. And they spread throughout the void. They spread throughout the universe. And as they were going, they were holding their breath and blowing up too, and making more and more little atoms, and making Star Trek, you know, making all sorts of universes and all sorts of galaxies and all sorts of stars and Earths on them. And then one of the planets cooled off long enough, and some little seed thought dropped on it, and out came the plants and animals and man. This took 15 billion years. Why 15 billion years? It sounds good. Who can figure out what 15 billion years is? Who could tell Warren Buffett what $32 billion are? Yeah? Or Bill Gates what his $53 billion are? Yeah? Who can tell him? Okay, so here we go. The earth is created, the farm is made, everything is done. And National Geographic has beautiful pictures of how this all happened and how the spreading is. But the scientist, being a wise acre, being a wise scientist, he said, this, children, is my, another word, theory. This is my theory. I theorize this. I imagine this to be. This is my theory. And this is where it is. The Big Bang Theory is a theory. It is Alice in Wonderland on the Big Bang stage. You see what I mean? Quite amusing, quite beautiful. Immediately, the scientific community tried to say it's not so. And they couldn't prove it because it was his theory. Because it was all in his mind. Because there was nothing to say no and nothing to say yes. So it became a yes. Now everybody talks about the Big Bang Theory, and it even has a definition in the Dictionary. Webster. A definition for the Big Bang Theory. And you know, to get the Big Bang Theory as a definition, pretty good. And who has the word practitioner? The Christian scientist. In the dictionary. And under the word absolute in the dictionary. Absolute. The word absolute in the dictionary. It is such a grand, glorious word. And one of its definitions is the Christian scientist's term for God. Now, pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool how these things can develop and become part of the parlance of man, of humanity, and of the reality we're living. Okay, now, using terms that have preconceived definitions to them is difficult. Because then we always go to that preconceived definition whenever the word is used. Now, what's your name?
Margaret.
Margaret? Margaret? I believe she was standing with me at the table there, wasn't she? Or with the peas, and we were talking about the peas. And she says, oh, when I was a little girl, she says, I was at the farm, and she says, we would go out in a little garden that we had behind our house, and I'd pick the peas, and I'd pop them out of the pod, and I'd eat them and enjoy them so much, remember? And Richard was there talking with us about it. And the cucumbers, you know, which were pickles and other things, you know, and little baby corn cobs. Now, you see, the minute you say, peas. Now it's back there in her garden, in her home, when she was a child, on the farm, in her peapod bed, and picking peas, and eating them as she was picking, probably eating more than she picked, and having a great little time. Now, she should never use the word peas in relation to something else, because it will always take it back to the peas. Now, if she's going to make pea soup, she's going to say, not as good as my mom made it from our garden back then. And you see, these are the things why we must be so careful. We do not want to use a preconceived term. We must do so because it just happens to fill the bill a lot of times. But we want to put something else in there. Now, how many of you heard of supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? Mm-hmm. That's that Mary Poppin, isn't it? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Now, it doesn't mean a damn thing. And it's not really in the dictionary. But it's one of the most popular words that you can imagine. It's in song, it's in the movie, and the kids all know it. All the kids know it. I use it in my talks, and I say to the children's talks that I give Mr. Campbell's stories on the internet, where Mr. Campbell is visiting the boys and girls around the world. And I talk about supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and they all know about it. And what does supercalifragilisticexpialidocious mean? It only means something unexplainable, but something very specially wonderful. It's just, hey, you're wonderful. You're super. You're supercalifragilistic. You're expialidocious. Now, it doesn't mean a thing. They have no definition. Oh, one day the dictionary is going to put it in there and say this is from the movie Mary Poppin, and it's going to say this, that, and everything. But, you see, it had no relevance. So if I say, you're supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, you look at me and smile, you're supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You think, oh my goodness, that doesn't sound like I'm too good there. You are supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And you say, my goodness, that sounds good. I just say it again. And say it about me and say it again, you see. And this is what it's all about. It has relationships. Now, when you hear that word another time, you'll remember our talking about it today, perhaps, and then you'll put it in this terminology. But you want to take a turn for yourself, and for your world, and for your dream, and for our friends, the genie? Not a genie. Well, our friends, the 10,000 genies every day, you'll never keep track of their names. John and George and Henry and Paul and Mary and Peter and Susan and Q. You'll never remember them. You'll never remember them. But you don't have to. Because by the time these guys are done with their job, there'll be 10,000 more new ones there, you know. And it's just marvelous. Now, every day, you are sloughing off thousands of cells from your body. Thousands of cells, every time you wash your hands, every time you do anything. Thousands of cells. And if you have a scar here, that should be washed away with brand new cells that come in there. They're brand new cells. They don't have these scar cells. But they're scar cells because you tell you have a scar there. Let me show you my operation now. Let me show you the scars. And because of that, you reinvent them. You redesign them. You recreate them on your arm or wherever you have a scar. You recreate it. Now, a number of doctors are in a positive frame of reference. And you know what these doctors do? They say, I have just learned of a new technique in surgery where we sew the patient up where there's no scar. No scar. And then they take their little metal slits and they go, click, 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 like that, you know. Aren't you going to sew it up? Yeah, I don't, there's no scar. And so then you come back in a few days and we'll take that out. And you come back in a couple of days, they fall right off, and there's no scar there. Doctor, there's no scar there. How come? Did you really operate on me? Or was that just an illusion from Arrigo, the surgeon with a rusty knife down in Brazil? Is that just an illusion? You know, and the doctor says, no, it's no illusion. But the type of surgery I do leaves no scars. And you better believe it. You can see it right there. There's no scars. Now, how could he do that? And how come the next doctor, who did virtually the same type of thing, had scars? Because the doctor put into a patient's mind that there would be a scar or a scarless tissue. That's all it took. The patient believed the doctor. The patient believed the doctor, and the doctor said, there will be no scar. Now, are you ready to be the doctor who says to yourself, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body? Are you ready to be the doctor who says, I am perfect? Are you ready to be the doctor who says, I like me? My life, my world, my universe is in divine order. Every thought I think is instantly done. Richard was telling me about another science fiction story in which they were flying on the spaceship, and that when they were flying through, I believe it was, I'm probably not correct in it, but they were flying through a zone in space. And in this zone, every time they would speak their word, it would be instantly done, instantly done, instantly done. And then they fly out of the zone, and it's not done. Or they would land on this planet, a planet where it was instantly done. Instantly done. Well, now, is that a joke, or is that real? Is that possible? It is instantly done. Why here is it not, and here is it so, and here is it not? It's just a matter of belief. There's no energy out there, more here, less here, more there. Why is Lourdes such a healing place? Why did Catherine Kuhlman go around taking people, in the name of Jesus, you're healed, and shove them backwards, and they fall in the arms of the waiting people there, and then they throw their crutches aside and they walk home? Not everyone kept their healing, but most did. Now, how could she say that? They believed it. The people themselves believed it. They turned, their foot was crooked, their leg was broken, their problem was a problem. How could they do that? Because they immediately turned over to the concept, I am whole and perfect. I am perfect. I am perfect. I am perfect. And the little genies in them, St. Patrick's Day, we're having the little gremlins in, but the little genies in them instantly brought this about. Now, to not digress too much on this, but think of this here. Why do the Germans have their little gremlins and goblins. Why do the Irish have their little genes? Why do all the different countries of the world have their little people or their little magic people? And why do many people have angels? And all the stupid things in the world have an angel, you know. What is an angel? What are these little people? They're our creation. And they're good or not, depending upon what we want. Now, if you like angels, create them. Because they're all around you. You like these little people? Create them. They're all around you. You like to have ghosts and goblins? Create them. They're all around you. You like to have gods? The Hindus love gods. The Hindus have many, many, many gods for everything. The Greeks love gods. You have the god of this, the god of that, the god of that. You read Greek mythology, and you'll find so many gods in there that you can't even keep track of them. And remember Achilles? Now, isn't that silly that his mother didn't realize that she had a switch feet? She grabbed him by one tendon, and she should have taken him and let go and stuck the other one down there. I mean, anyone knows that, you know. But she was doing her thing in the river Styx and dipped him, and he was untouchable unless he got it through the heel. And then he was dead. Now, how can he be dead? He cut through the heel. Well, because that's part of the story. That's part of the story. Logical, illogical, it makes no difference. If you want to read illogical stuff, just read the Bible. And it has some of the most illogical stuff in the world in it. If you want to read illogical stuff, read mythology. If you want to read illogical stuff, read the profit and loss statement of the United States government. My goodness sakes, that is the biggest joke in the world. And we spend more money than we make, and we owe more money than we spend, and we owe more money than we make, and we owe. And all the other countries owe us money, and we forgive them that they owe us when they want more. And we give it to them. But you see, the thing is, we're playing these games. These games are as illogical, unreasonable, and it's everyday stuff, and we call that real stuff. We call that logic. We call that business. We call that reality. It's all an illusion. And it's not a bad illusion. Don't worry about it. If the world blew up, nobody's going to collect, you know? Right? Yeah? Who's going to collect? Yeah? Who's going to collect? Well, there's Odom. I have women who come to me and they say they loaned money to their son or daughter for whatever, and they didn't pay back, and they went out and bought a new car, and they bought a new house and didn't pay back, and they did this. And I said, you know what you're doing? You're making yourself unhappy for something you shouldn't have done. You should not have loaned them any money. Give it to them, freely, openly, say, here, $10,000, go and do what you want with it. I have it to spare, that's all. I have to save some now. But go and do what you want, and then they go and do what they want. And they don't say thank you even. But if you loan it to them, then you say, why did they buy some new diapers for the baby? They could have used the old ones and rewashed them, you know. And why don't they do this and why did they do that now? And yeah. You remember the days when they did those things. Yeah. And so, you see, these are the things we want to get away from, that idea of owing anything to the world or doing anything. Don't get yourself tied up with it. Say, I like me. If you died 10 minutes from now, and you knew you were going to die in 10 minutes, could you say to yourself in allness of your heart, I lived a very happy life and a full life, and there's nothing more I want to do. I don't want to go and pay off these bills that I owed to hell with them. I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. Sorry about that. I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. But you don't do that. You just say, I played every game I played in the way that I played it, and I played it well, and now I'm great again. And I'm happy. I'm perfectly happy. And I'm not decisive. I don't have to get my house in order. If I haven't got my house, if I don't keep my house in order as I go along, I'm in trouble. because you never know when you're going to decide to catch a bus to that next dimension. No. You never know. And when you do, the angels will grab you and they'll say, come on, let's go, here's your wings, you know? And you'll say, I don't want those old brown wings, I want some white ones like you guys got. And they say, look, you want these? And not at all. I don't want those brown wings. Then you stay here. All right. You see? That's why we stay here. That's why we stay here. Because we try to interpret what brown means. We try to interpret what things mean. Now, have you got an idea in your mind of what statement you might make for yourself that would be an all-inclusive statement for living the ideally perfect life? Now, I'm going to go around the room and ask each one of you, please speak it loud for the mic here, and as you speak it, if somebody else says it, don't say ditto. But you can say exactly the same. If somebody else is smart enough to figure out how you really like to say it, then copy them. That's perfectly okay too. So now, which side would you like to stand on? This side of it. Smart lady. All right. Sir. Sir Richard. I'm sorry?
You want to pass that around?
Pass what around? Oh, yes, I can set this on hold. Yeah, good idea.
And then everybody can say into it.
You are such a genius. I knew I loved him for some reason other than the fact that he's so good looking. Now, here. I pressed hold,
so you shouldn't be able to press any buttons and make a change.
And our question?
Yes. The question is, what would be one of a number or one, just one, of the things that you would say to yourself that would set to work your genie in a positive way right now for you in some area or in some generalized area or something? What say, like, and I don't want to say what it is because you want to take it yourself, okay?
Well, I already have one.
I already have one.
So you can say all you want.
Turn to
yourself. But I wouldn't duplicate it either.
Turn the microphone to yourself. The mic's on the top there.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your statement?
I am love and peace at all times.
I am love and peace at all times. Now, why do you say at all times? Why, if you are love and peace, are there times that you might not be love and peace?
That's for the conscious mind.
Okay. I am love and peace at all times for the conscious mind. Now, for your divine mind, for these, remember, we're the genies. And they're unconditional beings, you know, they are ready for us. Now, okay? Now, go ahead.
I am love and peace.
I am love and peace, okay? Now, for the genies, pass it along with me.
Let's see. I am the universe, and the universe is me.
Say it louder, excuse me.
I am the universe, and the universe is me.
I am the universe, and the universe is me.
I am fully connected to the oneness. I am perfect peace and love on earth and in the universe.
I am perfect peace
and love.
And love on the earth and the universe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you said the universe, would it be the earth out?
Okay, I can do that.
Tell me what I mean.
Give
it a lot. And if you said perfect peace and love, are you the universe and are you everywhere?
I
have
a
perfect
peace
and
love.
Okay. But that is
the
catch to think about it.
I am what I am.
What?
I am what I am.
I am what I am or I am that I am?
I am what I am. I am that what I am. I am.
Well, what does the word what mean? That means you are that which is. What means you are not explained.
Oh, okay. I am that I am.
Yeah, I am that I am.
Popeye always said, I am what I am. And you eat your spirit. I have limitless divine potential. The whole universe and beyond is available to me. I have limitless divine potential. The whole universe and beyond is available to me.
Now, that's good insofar as Did you see The Secret?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, both of them said, and did you see Last Holiday?
Yes.
What was her thing? Possibility book cover?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What was the final thing?
Final thing for her or for me? On the book? I've forgotten to tell you the truth.
On the book, that possibility is reality.
Oh, okay.
My reality thing. See, I recommend you don't work on possibilities or work on reality.
Okay.
But I see all these movies, they play some real nice voices, and at every movie that I show on the campus, I always ask at the movie, what redeeming features did you find in this movie? What redeeming features for watching the movie? And the movie might be good or bad or different. Always the redeeming feature. Okay, now, your statement?
I love myself.
You can contest that.
Nobody.
You love yourself. What a smart one. Sir? What is your educated mind going to reveal to this educated group?
I am a genie factory.
You are what?
A genie factory.
That takes a little thought, and that's a little power. My goodness sake, you don't have to guess it next week. He's a genie factory. Alright, okay then.
I am at one with God, and I am God, and I am a vehicle for God.
Listen again. I am at one
with God.
Not with God, as God.
All right.
I am at one as God.
I am
not with God, you're as God.
I am at one as God.
Yeah.
I am a vehicle for God.
I am
a vehicle for God.
And my body is a vehicle for me. Yeah. But that's okay. I jump on these things with you, not because they're bad, but you want them to you see, you're a vehicle for something outside of yourself, you know. But no, you're a vehicle for something inside yourself, which is God. And so the trouble when we say God, we think outside. But I am a vehicle for my divine self, for me. I am for God. And that's good. Please don't think that I'm saying this and you can wrong. I'm just saying that these are some of the thoughts that go through your mind that you're saying. Okay, love?
Just fine-tuning.
Fine-tuning. There you go.
I am God creating the perfect world.
Again?
I am God creating the perfect world.
I am God creating a perfect world. It's in the right direction. The red light's still on?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Gretchen, what is your statement?
I am God and everyone else is God.
I am God and
everyone else is God.
I am God and everyone else is God. Alright. That's good. I am God and everyone else is God. That's an instructional statement. Go ahead.
I thought that's right. I am complete. I am one. I am God. I am divine.
Again.
Good brain. Thank you. Thank you. I am complete. I am one. I am love. I am God.
Very good.
Now, what are these statements that we've all made? They're beginnings. Their beginnings, because if you say anything else, if you say I am God and everyone else is God, then what you're thinking is that there are other people here, and you are number one. You're number one. There's no other people here. They're not here. You created them. They are merely reflections of you and me. You know. And so, and every, they may be God, but you don't care. What you care about is that you created them, and from your understanding of yourself as God, then they are exactly like you.